chapter number 19, and we're going to stand and reference the reading of the Word of God. Found over in Acts chapter number 19. Well, if you're glad you come to church, say amen.
Amen.
And the joy to be saved. I'm glad I'm in a church where you can get some help. And the only way we're going to get help is by the Spirit of God, the Word of God. Paul had it on his mind. Paul was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. I wonder where God could take our church if we'd all get filled with the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, to be filled with the Spirit of God is a commandment. Be ye filled with the Spirit, is what the book says. So it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them a very serious question. Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? And they said unto him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Thank you for standing this morning. I want to preach on this simple subject on, do you know you have the Holy Ghost? Now, Paul... He said, I want to know something. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? I'm afraid it's a lot of people that's trying to get to heaven on their own merits, their own righteousness, on their works. We have all kind of different opinions of how to get to heaven. If we took a survey across our country, even in our town, it would amaze you how people tell you that you get to heaven. Well, Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by Him. If you bypass Christ, hell will be your home. We're in a society, they think that the Bible's out of date. Well, what a day it'd be that it dawned on you, you're just going to die and go to hell without Christ. Paul had this on his heart. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we've not even heard whether there be no Holy Ghost. I know a lot of Baptist churches in that shape this morning. We don't even know there be no Holy Ghost. They don't know what it is for the Spirit of God to take their total worship hour. And they don't even know what it is for the preacher not to even have room to get in to preach that morning. Oh, it's a blessing to have the Spirit of God. And certainly, I know it's another sermon, but this morning in Acts chapter number 8, it's pinned down that we can know some things about the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to say that redemption, redeemed, there's been a price paid. And redemption was planned by the Father. Now, He's not willing that any would perish, but that all should come to repentance. Aren't you glad in the mind of God, before the fall of man, God had a plan? Before the foundation of the world, God decided He would have a church. But before the foundation of the world, not only did He decide that He would have a church, He decided what kind of church He would have. Spotless and separated from the world. And then He decided ultimately where His church would be with Him. Those He justified, He also glorified. But can I tell you, before the foundation of the world, God did not decide who would be in that church. You decide whether you want to be in that church or not. Now God has, before this world, we see there was a plan by the Father. And then I'm glad that plan was provided by His Son. We try to make so much and things so complicated. It's simply this. Christ took upon Himself the form of a servant, walked through this world, had never known sin, had never sinned. He was the holy, separated Lamb of God. And He got on the cross, and thank God He died for the sins of this world. The Bible said He paid a ransom for all. Now I'm glad He paid my price. But there's one thing that kept me from receiving that price. That was grace by faith. I had to access by faith what He had done for me on an old rugged cross. And then do we find that not only is redemption planned by the Father and provided by the Son, but it is applied by the Spirit. A lot of people, they think, well, I just get saved when I want to get saved. You're going to get saved when the Holy Ghost of God deals with your heart as a sinner. You say, well, why did Paul say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Well, the Bible says this, the devils in hell believe and tremble. We live in a society of trickery and hoodwinking. Make this little profession of faith and come be baptized and join our church. And honey, it's a lot more profound than that. It takes the Spirit of God to convict men and to convince men that we are sinners. I can preach the best sermon in America. I can preach for 3 hours at a time. And if the Spirit of God don't take the Word of God and put in your heart, you'll never be saved by His amazing grace. It takes the work of the Spirit of God. And you can grieve the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit. The reason most of the time He's not in our churches, because we don't welcome Him. We've grieved Him and we've offended Him. And can I tell you loud and clear this morning, honey, without the Spirit of God in our church, we might as well stay at the house. Hey, I didn't come to see you, and you ought to not come to see me. We ought to got in on what the Spirit of God has got for our lives this morning. Now He said, I want to know something. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Well, Pastor, why is that so important? Because the Bible says if any man, any woman, any boy, any girl have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Now I'm going to tell you something. I don't know a lot of things, but I do know one thing. The Spirit of God lives in me. And I'm a new creature by the Spirit of God. Do you always do right? Oh, I wish I could tell you I do. But I just want to go on and tell you, you've been around me 17 years here. You know I don't always do right. And you can go and shake your little self-righteous head like a little puppy dog. You don't always do right either. But I'm glad, honey, hallelujah, I'm glad there's a God in heaven that has justified me by faith, by the Spirit of God, and by the blood of God, and has washed me clean from all my sin. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1, He said, if you have the Spirit of God, you are placed in a new dominion. I'm glad I'm living in a new domain. This spirit world is amazing. Boy, isn't it amazing? In the book of Revelation, He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Boy, it's not a lot of spirit talking this morning. I'm not talking about a jabbering in another tongue. I'm talking about the Word of God. When it's preached, it goes out in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, friend, when the Holy Ghost moves in, hell will move out. You say, well, preacher, how do you know you're going to heaven? Because I'm living that way, amen. How'd you know you're going to hell? Because I was a living like I was a doing that. But I'm glad one blessed day, Brother Steve, the Holy Ghost come by and put something in my heart, and I've never been the same. Glory to God. There is therefore now no condemnation. Oh, now there is no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm saved. Then why ain't you living that way? You say, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, why ain't you going after Jesus then? Oh, now, preacher, I believe. Well, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now, there is a new dominion. There is therefore no condemnation. That's a big word. Condemnation. It simply means this. There's an adverse sentence that's been applied. It's like this, an old house that posted on it, condemned. Oh, that's exactly where I was. I was condemned in all of my sin. Honey, the Church of Christ had told me you just be baptized and wash away your sins and live a good life and wait till you die and see if you can make it into heaven. I come down here to tell you this morning, honey, I got a lot better story to tell than that. I'm glad one day He put me in the family of God. He washed me in His blood and put the Spirit of God in my soul. And now I am no more condemned by the grace of God. Oh, we ought to run and shout about we're not condemned no more. And it wasn't by good works. And good works don't keep me saved. There is therefore now no condemnation them which are in Christ Jesus. I'm glad the Spirit of God come by one day in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 12. And He put me in Christ. The Bible says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Some of you Southern rebel flag flyers, whether you be black or white. Somebody say amen right there. Oh, don't let a little preaching offend you. He's put us in the family of Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. For aren't you glad that the Spirit of God baptized you into one body? Now, if you're saved by the grace of God, the day that you realized you was a sinner and you called upon Christ, there's something happened to you that you don't understand what happened to you. He put you in the family of God, and He put the family of God in you. He said not only did He baptize you in, but He's made you all to drink of one Spirit. I'm glad there was a bestowal made. I'm glad not only did He put me in Christ, but He put Christ in me. And now we're all blood kin by the blood of the Lord Jesus. You're not my brother and sister because you're Baptist. We're Baptists by conviction, and we believe it's our doctrine, and that's what we stand on. But honey, let me tell you something. There is God's young'uns all across this world, whether they be Holiness or Methodist, the Church of Christ, or the it don't matter what kind of abominations above their name. But I said, hallelujah, amen. A lot of time religion is abomination, but thank God, by the blood of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God, He's put us in the family of God. Boy, I want to treat my brothers and sisters right. My brother died last Labor Day weekend. We buried him. A lot of times it's so unreal, I pick my phone up to call him, Brother Marlin. And you know something? You're my brother and sisters in Christ. I want to be sure that I tell you I love you while I'm here and do all for you that I can do for you while you're here, because we don't know what tomorrow. Some of us may not be here next week because God has had that mansion ready for us. Some of you may be in hell this time next week. I seen Osama bin Laden on news last night. I turned around and told my dad-in-law, I said, I don't want to be his judge, but his fruit showed he died and went to hell. I said, he'd been in hell a week now. I wonder what he'd love to say on national TV this morning. He said, preacher, I don't believe in hell. It don't change the fact you'll go there if you deny his son. And I understand you don't build big mega churches preaching the way I'm preaching this morning, but I tell you what you will have. You'll have a church with the Holy Ghost in it. And you'll have some people that still love God. And we may not be passing out Starbucks and popcorn this morning, but I tell you what we got. We got the Spirit of God. We got some families that love God. And that's all that matters to the man of God here this morning. Some of you are going to die and go to hell in your sins because you're going to reject Jesus. You're gambling with a cross. Anybody's ever gambled with a cross, they've lost. You better come to Christ while you can come to Christ. He rejects none. There's therefore no condemnation. Oh, Lord. I'm glad the Spirit of God is so good to me, Brother Lee. That when He saved me, He put that condemned sign down and put a remodeling process. It's going to stand forever. Glory to God. This flesh didn't get saved. That's our problem. He's always telling us to put off, Brother Gerald. Brother Mark, put off these things because they come on us so easy. Anger and jealousy and animosity and wrath and all of these jesting and terrible things that make us look crazy. Put off these, but boy, I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. And when He sees me, He sees His Son. I'm not going to heaven by my own effort. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm just going to live by the law and do the best I can. I'm glad I have a new dominion this morning. Therefore now there's no condemnation of them which are in Christ. How do you get in Christ Jesus? How do you get in this thing? You got to be born in it. This Bible teaches us you must. You hear me? You must be born again. Preacher, you one of them old hellfire and brimstone hacking preacher. Thank you. I want to remind you, the Bible says you must be born again. Nicodemus, one of the most religious men in the Bible, come to Jesus by night. He said, Rabboni, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things unless God be with him. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. He was a religious Pharisee. Boy, aren't you glad God will look over all of your unrighteousness and put you in His Son's righteousness. Oh, I'm glad we are placed in His Son by the Spirit of God. And now I want to say this. In Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 1. Romans 5 verse 1 number 1. And therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to ever have peace with God is through His Son. The Muslims, this is where our Bible divides. They say Jesus was a good prophet. Oh, a lot more than that. He was the God-man. And whether we become a socialist nation or not, it's still one way to heaven, and that's through the blood of the darling Son of God, by whom we have access by faith. Boy, I am glad. You know something? Right there's a door. And right there's a door. It grants you access, but you got to have faith to reach and grab it to go out. That's the way it is with salvation. God has given us an access, and the only way you're going to get in the family is by faith. Look what he says. whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory. Rejoice? You mean we being a Baptist ought to rejoice? Can I tell you what's wrong with some of you? The Baptist got you for Jesus got you. It's okay to throw your little hands up. Some of you look at me like a cross-eyed polecat. Can I tell you, honey, you can still smile and you can still rejoice at the house of God. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That we rejoice. Lord, I'm not happy because I got to face tomorrow. I'm happy because who's going to face tomorrow with me? Rejoice. He said, that's what we're rejoicing about. We have access by Christ into this grace. And he said this, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, in Romans 4 and verse number 20, talking about being placed in Christ, he gets to talking about Abraham, and he says in verse 20, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Would somebody give glory to God in this place? And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Counted to him for righteousness. And it was written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He died for our offenses, but He got up for our justification. I'm glad He kicked the backside out of the grave when He got up. And because He lives, I can live this morning. Oh, it's all about Christ. It's nothing on us. It's just that we have access by Christ, by this faith He's given us. Don't sound like to me I've done nothing yet but had faith. Sounds like to me He's taking care of everything I'll ever need done and justified. Boy, ain't it amazing? The only reason a lot of us ain't in jail because we didn't get caught. You too, ma'am. You broke a speed limit coming down here. The only reason a lot of us ain't locked up, we didn't get caught. God said this, listen, you all are guilty sinners, and I sent my Son to take your place, and He died for y'all, and He got up that He may justify you by Christ. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Justified by grace. And then, We think a lot about this thing of the law. Law, law, law. Paul said that law was our schoolmaster. And he said in Romans 6 and verse number 14, he said, for sin shall not have dominion over ye, for you're not under the law, but under grace. We ought to love Jesus so much, we ought to try to live by the law. But we can't live by the law. You see, the Bible says the law's perfect. And it shows us that we're imperfect. That's why our legislation don't like the Ten Commandments up on the courthouse walls. It shows us how vile we are. Thou shalt not steal. Well, they stealing from all of us. License thieves. But we still got to pay it. You can go and shake your head right there. Thou shalt have no other gods before us. What about the Muslims' God? That ain't our God. No wonder they throwed them out of the court. The law shows us how vile we are. Thou shalt not covet. Some of y'all wanted my tie. Some of you ladies carrying that nice Coach pocketbook, you done got them women coveting after what you got. Now see, let me tell you, the law ain't the problem. We the problem. Matter of fact, the law just makes me want to do something different. What Paul said, you know something? He said when the law came, sin revived. Now, I guarantee you, this crowd of folks this morning, if we wrote wet paint in yonder on our foyer wall, about 60% of us would walk in there and say, is that really right? That law, wet paint, boy, it just makes us want to do something. Them 55 mile an hour speed limit signs on I-20 between the Georgia line and Birmingham, it just makes me really want to look way ahead and be sure I can get to about 83 mile an hour. Boy, that law signs make me want to break the law. We can put some of y'all to smoke. We got no smoke, and you sure would like to burn one out yonder, wouldn't you? We ought to put us a sign up, let y'all go to smoking and say, no backbiting. No gossiping, Brother Andy. Hey, let's let them go to smoking and let's just go to having church and love one another. Amen. Lord God, I need to give me some new signs made. We ought to change them every Sunday. Be nice. I was preaching at church this week in Clover, South Carolina. This little boy held a sign up against the wall and said, amen. I said, I need one of them some Sundays. But you see, Paul said when the law was manifested, it was my schoolmaster, it become a mirror, and it showed me just really how ugly I was. You know, we think we do pretty good when we gauge ourselves to somebody else. Boy, when we start looking in that letter of the law, we get to seeing just how pure and how holy God is and how sinful and how unrighteous we really are. And can I tell you, He was bruised for our transgressions. He took all of our iniquities and He nailed them on the cross and He died for my sins. But that ain't the end of the story. On the third day, He got out of the grave. Up from the grave He arose and He got out for our justification. And now there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Lord God. I don't know if it's a help in anybody, but it's going to help me this morning. I'm glad I've been placed in Christ. Now, since I've placed in Christ, I have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why some of you can come to an old-fashioned altar, Miss Sherry. You come. That's why some of you can come to an old-fashioned altar and cry to a God in heaven because you're in His Son and He pleads your case. I got it in my notes there. This may amaze some of you what the Bible says. God heareth not sinners. Now the only sinner prayer here is God save me. God be merciful. He turns no sinner down for salvation. But it lets me know, sir, ma'am, if you're not in the body of Christ, you cannot pray for your children. You cannot pray for your family because the Bible said God heareth not the prayers of sinners. But I'm glad He said, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, preacher, what's this when people come down in y'all's church and go to pray? Well, other people come and praise with. Thank God there's people praying for me. At night last week, when I'd stand up to preach, I knew there was some people praying for me, Brother Gerald. Boy, aren't you glad you can come to a cross this morning, bow at His feet and say, oh God, help me. God, I need Your help for my life and for my family. Because we've been placed in Christ. The wrath of God has gone off of us by His Son. Spirit of God, place me in Christ. Wouldn't it be a blessing this morning if You'd come by faith simply this way and say, Lord, I've never been saved and I'm tired of living like this. God, I have no peace in my soul. God, I know I've never been saved. And God, I want to be saved. And I'm going to come and I'm going to bow to You. And I'm going to tell You, according to the Word of God, He said if you'll put your faith in what He's done for you on an old rugged cross, you'd take the Spirit of God and baptize you in the family of God.
and erase all your sins. He said He'd cast all your sins in a sea of forgetfulness. You know, a lot of times, mom and daddies, when we're in this trouble, we think we're doing it all by ourselves. But no, we're in Christ Jesus. We have privileges in the family that nobody else has. I'm glad I come to my Father in my needs. And I say, oh God, I sure do need something. Brother Randall, you had a good daddy. No doubt he's in glory this morning. But you know what? I could call your daddy, and he really had, he had no rights to have to give me what I needed. But when I was placed in his son, now he is my father. And I have full rights, full standing, even though I've been adopted in the family. I've got full standing as a full-pledged son. Abba, Father, God, I need you. God, I need, God, I'm coming to Christ so I can know about you. I'm laying all my sins at your feet. I need you to forgive. I wonder this morning, will be anybody here who want to be saved? The Spirit of God convicting you, been dealing with you a while about being saved. You know, this is where the devil puts a lot of people in hell. Well, what will people think? I tell you what they'll think. They'll think themselves happy. They'll thank God that you come to trust Christ as your Savior. They'll thank God, because you know what? Everybody in this place that's ever been saved is right where you are this morning. Everybody here. The devil will tell you you're the only ones ever made a profession. Let me ask you something. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And I know this is only one little step and probably a five-hour sermon I've got wrote down there. But I'm started in it this morning. I'm going to tell you something. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you? Well, Mom and Daddy, is that Holy Ghost that lives in you? Can I tell you, He knows the next step you need to take? Where will we be without His enlightenment? Won't you come and trust Him, whatever you have need of this morning? We're going to sing a song. We're going to open this altar. Whatever you need, all around the house, you come.